Hey guys, if you don't take out your message notes, it says part three, but it's kind of part 2B. You know, we started on this last week, this learning to slow down, and I didn't want to do it. I spent a lot of time on learning to be content and about what we need to do to learn to slow our pace. But the whole series is called Living with a Margin. And, you know, I told y'all before, margin is the space that I create between my load and my limits. And how always being in a hurry hurts you. Don't always being in a hurry hurt you? And let's go over them real quick. Hurry increases my stress. Is that right? Sure does. Hurry decreases my joy. Hurry makes me less productive. Isn't that the truth? Hurry dries up my love. And hurry keeps me from hearing God. Remember, be still. Be still and know that I'm God. Hurry does this. And so what do we, if we don't want to be in a hurry and it's not good for our lives, it's not healthy, what do we need to learn to slow our pace for a healthier life? And last week I talked about learning to be content. Because it says, I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. Well, naturally, we're born to be discontent. So we got to learn to be content. And I gave you the steps how to do that last week. And so if you weren't here, you can get a free CD back there to listen to. Or you can go on the app on your smartphone, Stitcher. It's a free app. And just type in North Point Church. Or you can go to our website and listen. Now, real quick. Number two, learning to slow down, living on the margin is this. Learning to do, number two is learn to say no. Learn to say no. If you want to really have to slow your pace for a healthier life, learn to say no. And we're going to cover this again. We're just kind of doing a review for it right now. You're going to have to learn to say no to have a less stressful and less hurried lifestyle. I want you to write that in. Learn to say no. Because learning to say no is the single greatest time saver. You know, I'll even say this. You don't need just a to-do list, but you need a don't-do list. Amen? You need it. A don't-do list. Because sometimes I've noticed folks get addicted to adrenaline. And what I mean by that is the pace of life. You can't slow down because your lifestyle is a drug. And you're afraid if you slow down and you put your head on the pillow that all those fears and those worries and negative emotions, those memories and those hurts are going to come, it's going to cause them to come back crashing into your life. And so I want to ask you this morning, what are you running from? What are you running from? Especially what makes you run so fast? You know, I think probably 100% of us have a hard time saying no to request because we want to please. And we want to help other people. We want to be liked. And we want to be loved. So it's hard for us to say no. But the quickest way to overload your life is to say yes to everything. So you got to have some boundaries in your life. The Bible says if you're always saying yes to everything, you're going to get in trouble. Look what Proverbs 20:25 says. An impulsive vow is a trap. Later, you'll wish you could get out of it. All I'm saying is this. Don't make a promise without thinking about it. Choose your commitments carefully and prayerfully. Stop and think about it. Stop and think about it. My daughter, when she wanted something done, she was like a bulldog. She was relentless, and she wanted me to do something. I finally learned something from my father-in-law. I'd look at her, and I'd say, Sarah, if you need an answer now, it's no. Well, don't tell me now, Daddy. Don't tell me now. I don't need an answer now. I'm going to tell you guys, I get in more trouble saying yes than I ever do saying no. I get in a lot of trouble. How about you? Do you guys do that? You get in a lot of trouble saying yes. What I found out, it's always easier to get in than to get out. It's easy to get in. It's easier to get in debt than to get out of debt. Can I get a big amen on that?
Amen.
It's easier to get into a relationship than out of a relationship. You know, I remember them times, you know, it's not about you, it's about me. It was all kind of stuff to get out of a relationship, and it's hard. Think about those. It's easier to get in trouble than out of trouble. You know, tell me this. We all here. It's easier to gain weight than to lose it. Amen? Sure is. It's easier to fill your schedule than to fulfill your schedule. That's where I'm coming in. Learn to say no. It's always easier to get in than to get out. Think before you decide. I'm telling you guys, I told a pastor yesterday, just because we could do it don't mean that we should do it. Just because you could do it doesn't mean that you should do it. You can't keep adding to your plate. So when you start a new activity, you need to ask yourself, what am I willing to give up to start this new activity? You know, you need to focus on what matters most list. So whenever we're faced with an activity, we need to ask, is it worth it? Is it worth my time? Is it worth my energy? Is it worth my reputation? Is all this new activity worth it? I want to ask you a question this morning. Have you ever considered an activity diet? What am I going to cut out so that I can have time for the stuff that matters most? What am I going to cut out so that I can have more time for God? What am I going to cut out? Well, where do I get the power to say no? That's what we need to know. Okay, you say no. You say the best thing to do is say no. Where do I get the power? The Bible tells us it's this, found in Titus 2. The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. Amen? We get the power to say no from God's grace. Number three, real quick, to learn to slow our pace to healthy living is this. Learn to take a weekly Sabbath day of rest. Learn to take a weekly Sabbath day of rest. The Bible is a book filled with principles and commands for living for our benefit. Our benefit. And the most famous commands are the Big Ten. So I want you to know these Ten Commandments, they're not for God's benefit. They're for ours. Because those Ten Commandments, they don't make God's life easier. They make ours, mine, and yours. They're for us. God gave us these Ten Commandments because He loves us. He loves us. And if we'll follow them, our lives will be so much easier and you and I will avoid so many problems. If we avoid, we follow this. And I want to look at the fourth commandment. This one's right up there with do not murder, do not steal. You know, don't stop and rot mark. The fourth commandment. Every 6 days, you take a Sabbath. I don't even like to call it a day off, and I'll tell you why, but you take a day off. You take every 6 days. It's called the Sabbath. Exodus 20, 9 through 10 says, you have 6 days in which to do your work, but the seventh day is the day of rest dedicated to me. It's called the Sabbath. Write the Sabbath. Or underline the Sabbath. You and I, we got to learn to take a Sabbath day off every week. Rest is so important that God put it in the big 10. The Sabbath, it means a day of rest. Now, I want to tell you, it doesn't matter which day you take off, as long as it's weekly. Jesus said man was made for the Sabbath. And the Sabbath, he said it was not made for the Sabbath, but the Sabbath was made for man. Now, did I clear that up? The Sabbath was made for man. It's a day off for our benefit. But I'm going to ask you not to call it your day off, because you know what you're going to do when you call it your day off? You're going to cheat. And you're going to try to get caught up on some things that you didn't get done on the other 6 days. So don't call it your day off. Call it your Sabbath. Say it with me. Sabbath. Sabbath. Don't you call it a day off. If you and me, if we're not taking a Sabbath day off each week, we are breaking one of the Ten Commandments. I want you to write these down. Use this Sabbath day for these three things. Write these down. Rest my body. Use the Sabbath day to rest your body. Because I'm going to tell you something. If you don't take this time off, your body will make you take the time off. It'll shut down on you. Our best requires rest. Rest your body. The second thing, write this down. Recharge my emotions. Recharge my emotions. Well, how do I do that, Jim? Quietness. Quietness. Getting outside. Relationships. And do some recreation that rejuvenates. Not the competitive kind. Because you know that ain't going to rejuvenate you. You're going to be pumped up and psyched up. Just do some recreation. You know, something that rejuvenates you. Some people even tell me they feel guilty when they relax. You know what I say to that? Jesus didn't feel guilty when he relaxed. He didn't. Guess who else took a Sabbath? God did. You saying you feel guilty is just an excuse. Relax. The third thing is refocus my spirit. That's what you do. Refocus my spirit. Get together with other people. Worship. Worship puts life in perspective. There's no sport. There's no fishing. There's no sleeping in. There's no TV that can do that. Only worship can put your life in perspective. So you need to worship. And you also need private worship. You need some time alone with God. I consider Saturday my Sabbath. Because I work and I rest all day and I rest. Yesterday, you know, I had a perfect time to tell this lady this was my Sabbath. But I just told her, I don't do much on Saturday. I rest. I just kind of chill. I take numerous naps on Saturday. Sometimes the most spiritual thing you can do is a nap. Amen. After I got through his, I don't know, third, fourth nap, I decided to go to town. I just going to ride around. I stopped, got me an ice cream at the frozen lab. Is that what you call it? Got me a peanut butter. Well, then I said, I want to worship. Put in my head things. Listen to Lauren Daigle. You Say. Y'all heard that song? I didn't know it was on, but I listened to it. I said, I need some worship. It was private worship. I looked around and I'm dancing in the frozen worship. Well, not quite dancing, but I was moving sort of like that. And then I was singing. I was rejuvenated. Being the Lord was singing. I'm not sure what it done to the other people in there. But I had some time alone with God, eating an ice cream, listening to words from Lauren Daigle, you say. They say I'm weak. You say I'm strong. If I'm too busy for God, then I'm too busy. I'm too busy. Matthew 11:29 on the backside of your page. I love this in the Message paraphrase. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. This is what Jesus said. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. We're going to come back to that. So you hold on. We're going to use that unforced rhythms of grace. Guys, to slow your life down, you got to intentionally schedule rest and recreation. Psalm 127:2 says, it's useless to rise early and go to bed late and work from your worried fingers to the bone. Don't you know God enjoys giving rest to those he loves? Let me give you a warning here, all of you that won't slow down. If you don't slow down by choice, circumstances will eventually force you to slow down. They will. If you don't know what's good for you, your body does. And it will slow you down one way or the other. Number four. The fourth thing you need to learn is this. Learn to trust in God's perfect timing. Learn to trust in God's perfect timing. If discontent, we talked about last week, is one of the causes of hurry, then impatience is the other. Impatience is the other. We get in a rush. We get in a hurry, and we get impatient. And let me tell you what impatience is caused by. You can write this down. Impatience is caused by a lack of trust. A lack of trust. When we don't really believe that God has our best interest at heart, we get in a hurry. Y'all know what I'm talking about. When we ask God for something and we pray about it and it isn't delivered on our timing, we just move on right ahead without him. Don't we? We pray about something right here on the altar. We get up, take three steps, and we're formulating a plan how to accomplish it. We're not trusting in his perfect timing. You need to ask yourself, is faster always better? Most things grow better slower than they do faster. It takes a mushroom 6 hours to grow. It takes an oak tree 60 years. You want to be a mushroom or an oak tree? God has a plan for your life. He has a plan for my life. But he also has a timetable for that plan. And his timing is perfect. But here's the rub I get. God never explains his timetable. He never tells that to me. Ecclesiastes 3:11 says, God does everything just right and on time. But people can never completely understand what he's doing. Amen? Why doesn't God tell us? Why doesn't he tell us? Because he wants us to trust him. He wants us to trust that his timing is perfect. And if you want to slow the pace of your life, you got to trust that God is going to do this and fulfill it in your life at just the right time. Don't get in a hurry. Hold on to this promise out of Habakkuk right here. I love to say Habakkuk. These things I plan won't happen right away. Slowly, steadily, surely, the time approaches when the vision will be fulfilled. If it seems slow, wait patiently, for it will surely take place. It will not be delayed. Hold on to that promise. You and I, we got to learn to trust God's timing. Not get impatient and, and, and push through on that dream. Many of you have dreams. Don't try to push through it, you know, when it doesn't happen immediately. You know, and I'm going to tell you something else here too. Sometimes God has to take us through a difficult time to teach us to trust him. That was Paul's testimony. Look at the next verse in 2 Corinthians. We suffered so that we could stop trusting ourselves and learn to trust God who brings the dead back to life. Sometimes we got to go through some stuff. Let me get some water. Oh, it wasn't even open. I don't even know why I worried about that. It's a good thing I'm not a professional. That tough time that you're going through right now, maybe it's just so that you could learn to trust God's perfect timing. Maybe it is. Number five, if you're going to learn to slow down and live at a healthy pace, number five, you got to learn to use love as your filter. Learn to use love as your filter. My time, my money, my energy, and everything else. Guys, we're sure enough going to come back to this one. Maybe even a whole Sunday morning. Because love is your number one time management filter. Love is number one. Ephesians 5:2. It's out. I also put it in the message paraphrase. Mostly what God does is love you. Keep company with him and learn a life of love. Observe how Christ loved us. His love was cautious, but extravagant. He didn't love in order to get something from us, but to give everything of himself to us. He said love like that. You don't love in order to get something from someone, but to give. That's an extravagant kind of love. When you have to decide, we're wrapping up here. When you have to decide between two competing priorities, you know what I'm talking about, am I going to do this or am I going to do that? You should always choose the most loving option. Always choose the most loving option. Love is the qualifier. Which of these two things that it is the most loving thing to do? Not the most selfish, which is the most loving. 1 Corinthians 16:14 says what? Do everything in love. Love God, love your neighbor, love yourself. So when you're trying to decide, ask yourself this question. Fill in this last blank. What is the loving thing to do here, right now? What is the loving thing to do here, right now? When you've got two competing priorities. I want to read you this poem. I hope it's still on my phone. Slow me down, Lord. It says, slow me down, Lord. Ease the pounding of my heart by the quieting of my mind. Steady my hurried pace with a vision of the eternal march of time. Give me amid the confusion of the day the calmness of the eternal hills. Break the tension of my nerves and muscles with the soothing music of the singing streams that live in my memory. Help me to know the magical restoring power of sleep. Teach me the art of taking minute vacations, of slowing down to look at a flower, to chat with a friend, to pat a dog, to read a few lines of a good book. Slow me down, Lord, and inspire me to send my roots deep into the soil of life's enduring values that I may grow toward the stars of my greater destiny. Slow me down, Lord. Slow me down, Lord. Are you tired of an overloaded life? Are you tired of being sick and tired? Do you really want to move from burnout to balance? If you do, I want you to stick with me on this series, this living within in a margin. I want you to try and be here every week. I believe it will save your sanity. I believe that it'll save your relationships. I believe that if you live with a margin, as the Bible tells us to, that it could save your family. I believe it could even possibly save your life. And I wrote one more verse in here, and I'd like for you to make this your prayer this week. Psalm 51:10. God, make a fresh start in me. Shape a Genesis week from the chaos of my mind. A fresh start. Now we're going to have a baptism. I'm going to pray. And Callie, you can go on back here. Nick, you go on back here. Musicians, y'all come on up. Heavenly Father, Lord, we welcome you here. And Lord, we have developed a hurried, impatient life. And the people that are closest to us, the ones that we love, are suffering from our hurried life. Lord, I personally apologize for sometimes not intentionally putting time for you. Sometimes I wake up just in time to get to work on time. Then I get home too tired because I'm running late to open your word for a minute. Help me to set aside a day of Sabbath where I can rest my body so I can recharge my spirit and I can refocus on you. You promised an abundant life, a healthier life. I want it and I want my folks to have it. Well, we love you. And it's in the mighty name of Jesus that I pray.